Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello and welcome to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power. The Premiership returns tomorrow after a depressing international break. Belgium batterings, McBurnie bashing and Russians on the Randan at Hampden. But forget all about that for now because it's a Super Saturday. All 6 games taking place on the same day. But Saturdays, Sundays or any day of the week haven't been too super for Hearts or Hibs of late. Can Rangers respond to their 2-0 defeat to Celtic and win against an unbeaten Livingston? And will the struggling Saints go marching in at Pittodrie? Plus, in League 2, there's a new man in charge at Glebe Park. Trying not to make Breaking Bad, Mark Wilson joins us on the podcast. Alongside me in the studio, providing the chemistry, it's JJ Bull of The Telegraph. These are Breaking Bad references, by the way. And next to him, to follow it on, he's got the bald head, he's got the glasses, and he's got contacts in Europe. It's Kieran Canning. Hello, boys.
I've also got bags worth of crystal meth to ensure that I never have to watch Scotland conscious again.
Yeah, let's talk about Scotland. The 2 defeats at Hampden, 2-1 to Russia, then a 4-0 humping from Belgium. So basically, lads, we can still qualify for Euro 2020, but not from this group. It will have to be from the Nations League playoffs, which will happen in March because we won our Nations League group, which still consisted of 2 poor teams anyway. So we're very lucky.
I think that wasn't really a surprise, given after the Kazakhstan game, it was going to be incredibly hard to come out of that group automatically. What is a bit depressing is that we're not really seeing progress we hope to see under Steve Clarke. Like, what we expected to see from a Clarke team was defensively well organised, hard to beat team in line with what he did with Kilmarnock. Mm-hmm. I'm now a bit concerned that we don't really have the players to play that way. Like, all of our best players are midfielders, left backs, or wingers. And so, particularly in the Russia game, where we played really well for the first 20 minutes, and then Russia did just start going long to Juba. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't handle it because we don't have the centre-backs to be able to defend for long periods of time without possession, which is what Clarke teams have generally done well at.
We were aware of that going into this game, that we had to make the most of our midfield. And that's why we have the likes of James Forrest and the likes of Ryan Fraser, kind of two really forward-thinking guys on the wing to support the centre-forward. But we're not utilising it as well as we should be doing. Why is that?
I mean, we don't have good players as other teams do. Like, I think the centre-back thing is relevant even to the wingers, because you can't go and attack the way you want to if you can't trust who's at the back. And there was loads of individual errors that, I mean, Clarke can't account for. But if you look who the actual individual members are, like Charlie Mulgrew, I mean, come on, international centre-back.
But this is the problem, is that we've got, well, there was Cooper and Mulgrew were centre-backs in the 2 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, McKenna probably was fit. Suter maybe, if he was fit. There's not obvious candidates to come back and play there. I think right back's clearly a problem because O'Donnell just doesn't look up to that
he's
standard.
It's not a level needed, no.
You talked about the McBurnie bashing. I was a bit surprised at the backlash against him after the Russia game, because he actually, I felt, played okay in the first 20 minutes when Scotland were playing well, mm-hmm. and playing on the front foot. And then they just seem to have this crisis of confidence after they went 1-0 up. I mean, Andy Robertson said that they were scared, and it's the first time he's ever been in that position in a game where they're so much in command, and then all of a sudden being in front seemed to make them more nervous.
I think that shocked Clarke as well. He said in his post-match he couldn't put his finger on it, why they just let their foot off the gas.
There's nothing you can do about it as a manager at the time.
And then there was like a 40-50 yard gap between McBurnie and the rest of the team. Yeah. So he ended up getting a lot of the criticism, but he had no support.
So exactly, that's why you can't make use of your wide players, because you're dropping deep to try and cover up for any defensive frailties.
Yeah.
Suddenly, the boys you need to get forward to support McBurnie can't do it, and they're stuck. I don't think players perform as well as they should for Scotland, and I can't work out whether that's because they are frightened because they're next to players next to them who aren't as good. It's weird.
I think with the McBurney thing, a lot of Scottish football fans were waiting for an excuse to jump on his back purely because of that video that was leaked with him suggesting he didn't want to be going away with Scotland and performing for them.
But could you be arsed? I mean, I tweet this and those people have been like, oh, blah, 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 blah. That's basically what it sounds like to me when you read it on Twitter. But it's not his fault he's a £20 million player, right? It's not. He didn't make that transfer fee. Someone else did. I mean, don't know what drugs they were on. but they were probably pretty good. So McBurney is a £20 million player, apparently. But actually, he's basically a championship-level goal scorer.
Yeah.
There have been heaps of them, right?
Yeah.
Scotland have done well in the past when you've had a player like Kenny Miller, something like that, who runs and chases the channels. It's not that you need someone to be a target man to hold it up. And I don't think McBurney is a target man. I think he just is the only player who looks sort of like he might be, so he gets put into it. But Miller would run the channels, so you can put a ball in the channel, he can chase it down, and then your team moves up. Whereas McBurney, you think he's going to hold it up because he looks like a target man, but he's not.
It's just because he's tall, isn't it?
Yeah, he takes the ball with... I don't think he holds it up much. He likes to link play. Like he likes to drop in and sort of play these little quick passes with folk, and that's not really his game.
And I think he got a lot more service at Swansea in the championship, so he can feed off a lot more, and he was getting absolutely zero support
exactly.
in this game.
Could you be arsed on your
but,
own?
But to move on to another aspect of this game, or these two games, sorry, before we move on to a more positive note, what do we think of, you know, Andrew Robertson? Wearing that captain's armband, he's admitted himself he's not performing at the level that he maybe feels he should be performing at. I'm trying to suggest, is the armband weighing his performances down?
There's two things I feel with Robertson. One is, especially since he became captain, you feel that he takes on a huge amount of responsibility on himself, whether it be the amount of media he does, or you could even see it in the game. And there was one point about 5 minutes to go in the Russia game, and he was like the most advanced player forward, like looking to get onto a flick-on in the box. And it's just like, he's thinking that, oh, I need to do everything myself, where actually that's making the team weaker because he's not...
You're a left back.
You're not holding the position. Yeah, the other thing totally is... This might be exceptionally harsh on him because he's developed and improved so much over the last sort of 18 months, but there was a sort of theory going around after the games, particularly the Belgium game, because I was up for the two games in the press box. Is it that Robertson is just perfectly suited to playing in that Liverpool system, and that out with that and without having the same standard of players to play alongside or even the same structure of the team, he's just not as effective, and we were expecting to see the Liverpool Robertson in a Scotland team, which is just never going
to
happen.
Exactly, because he's basically a winger to Liverpool. He's not really a left back. And what he needs to be in that team is one unit of a, you know, cog in a bigger machine.
Yeah.
He knows he's the best player in the team. He's trying to do far too much, exactly what you're saying.
But the thing that you say he's the best player in the team, he's not the best player in the team. He's just the best left back. It's not like
best
player in the team.
Level
like
footballer.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't...
What would
his
overall rating be on Pro Evo? It would be the highest of all the players.
All I'm trying to say is I just think that the expectation is just stupid. You know, we should just be allowing him to be a left-back, and he should just be the best left-back in the team, which he is.
That in the first 20 minutes of the Russia game were by far the best we played over the two games. All our joy and the goal and everything came down the sort of triangle that was working between Robertson, Fraser and McGregor. Mm. There are three of our best sort of technically gifted players, and I think that's something that should be kept going for. That was what maybe worried me a bit about Clark as well, that the changes for the second game almost seemed changes for change's sake rather than what is specifically going to make the team better to face up to Belgium.
I mean, Christie got in the team because he did well when he came on as a sub right at the end. And
but I think the Christie thing ties into, we've got loads of talented midfielders, so we had Christie and Armstrong on the bench in the first game, so Christie comes in. But dropping like Fraser and Forrest for the second game, I don't think whoever played was going to beat Belgium, but that worried me a little bit going forward.
Well, I think it's odd to say the jury's out on Clark, but he just deserves the time. He's proved himself as a manager. He deserves the time. And I'd like for us to move on to a positive thing, because it was actually James McFadden Day on Thursday. It was.
James McFadden Day,
because we did a whole episode on that win against France about a year ago. It's called When Faddy Scored from 40 Miles. So go and check that out, because if you're feeling like about Scotland, that will certainly cheer you up. And staying on a positive thing as well, for Scotland, the under-21s beat Croatia 2-1. So the future's bright.
But it's not really. The present's absolutely terrible. I mean, Clark needs time with that team.
Give me this, JJ.
No, but it's Scotland are not very good at football anymore. I think a lot of people need to reassess how good they actually are. Like, who is it in the Belgium team, or I think the Belgian press were equating Scotland with being about as good as San Marino. That's kind of weird that I would be put in that bracket. But I think we'd struggle to beat teams like Estonia and stuff now. We've got good individual players. It's weird how it doesn't work.
I was going to say the opposite, because I think that if you'd asked me this 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said exactly what you said. Whereas now I actually have more hope, because I see more individually good players that if we get them in the right structure,
I mean, maybe the full strength. I think Scott McKenna would make a difference if he'd been in that defence, not against Belgium. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the world, so again, it's going to get done.
Well, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to try and stay positive.
All right.
And bring on the fact that, let's see if this one works. Fort William won. Yeah.
Get them into Scotland.
Get all those 9 Inverness loanees into the Scotland squad.
Exactly. So, like, although you really want Fort William to do well, it's really nice. Like, everyone loves the story. I mean, you can't not like it, right?
They beat Clackna Cuddon 1-0, who are pretty much the same as Fort William in the fact that they are not very good.
What's their first league win in 882 days, they tweeted, or something like that, right?
Yeah. However, it's important to remember
that they are essentially an Inverness Cali Thistle Colts team at the moment. And those boys are going to be a high level. Highland League's a good standard, but it'd be nice if they just, you know, it's not like they've just come around and they've found a winning way like the Mighty Ducks or something.
Yeah.
It is that they've hired in a bunch of boys who play for a high level club.
You're listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power.
Time to talk the clubs from the capital. The Hearts host Motherwell on Saturday as the pressure continues to grow on Craig Levein's jobs. 10 points from a possible 33 at Tynecastle for Hearts in 2019, and there could be as many as 8 first-teamers out injured. Stephen Naismith the latest to be a doubt with a hamstring niggle. This time a year ago, Hearts faced Motherwell at Fir Park and won 1-0 to make it 5 wins out of 5 and stay top of the table. And it was Naismith that scored that goal. No wins in 4, 12 months on.
I like your cadence there when you went down. That was nice. Yes.
Just like Hearts.
Yes. Maybe Hearts are doing the opposite of what they did last season when they started well and then were pretty awful the rest of it and are starting terribly this season so they can be amazing for the rest. I mean, that's obviously not what's happening.
But they were just quite good for a few weeks and then have actually been awful for the best part of a year.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably the more likely scenario. Particularly if, given the injuries they've got at the moment, and Naismith was so key to that good start to last season, not just because of what he brings as a player individually, but everyone seems to play off him a lot better. Obviously, at that point,
he makes him way better.
Ik Piazza was playing really well as a sort of focal point in the attack, and Naismith could play off him. And Ik Piazza just isn't anywhere near that. When it's just him and the ball is just getting like launched into him, it's much easier to defend. Mm-hmm. Signings like Connor Washington and stuff hasn't really paid off so far, so it isn't looking great. We spoke about Hearts a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying how like the home game against Hamilton could be a kind of make or break thing, and that obviously didn't go well, drawing 2-2. I think they were in the lead twice as well, and that might have like pulled the fans one way or the other. There was a point where the fans are really going to turn on Levein, and I think it's hard to say it's a must win because we've spoken about this before as well, and Levein's very safe there, but it's going to get to a point where even if they're going to have any sort of aspirations of top six, they're going to have to do something about it, and that either means drastic improvements on the pitch or shaking things up off it.
Well, the worst thing about Hearts is that they've had Levein in charge for this long and you haven't really seen any improvements in them. All the players that have come in, the only real improvement you see is when Naismith is on the pitch.
But it's also they signed so many players.
Yeah.
Like a huge amount of players. And so the budget they're putting in there is in no way correlating to where they are, particularly at the moment when they're
third. Yeah, that's right.
It's fascinating because the money they've spent, they've updated the stadium along with that. You know, the fans are expecting way more, and it's going to hit a crisis point potentially next weekend.
They beat Motherwell in the League Cup, but I really fancy, given what we've seen of both teams so far this season, I really fancy Motherwell in this game. Motherwell just look like completely the opposite of Hearts in that they're working on a much tighter budget. Mm-hmm. They went through that sort of topsy-turvy summer where they thought they were going to get the Turnbull money and then didn't. Then had to sort of adjust their budgets and things with that in mind. But they seem to have recruited pretty well again and look like much the better team. of these two so far.
They're playing nice football, and the other thing as well is even though Hearts are at home, I'm not sure that's a huge advantage just now because the way the crowd...
Exactly.
I don't know if they've turned fully on Levein, but I know most of them are fed up.
But they expect more, so as soon as something goes wrong, they're straight on the team's back.
And injuries are really relevant. Again, we always mention it, but all those injuries are really relevant, and it's forcing players to play out of position. And we talked about this in the last podcast about Hamilton. Their whited left back, Hickey in the right. It just doesn't make any sense, and they were getting absolutely done. But Motherwell, like you're saying, recruited really well. Sherwin Seedorf, talking to Laura Bannon when she was on last week, he's done really well. He was great in that win over Hibs, absolutely had. Whitaker is playing at right back, and again the Edinburgh club's playing players out of position, had him on toast, as Michael Owen would say.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of exciting young players at Motherwell, Jimmy and Hylton, and you know, I think David Turnbull was due back in January, and Motherwell are doing all right now. So if they can get to January, I'm thinking ahead here.
But at least with them, you can see where they're going, what they're trying to
do.
Their Hearts, I had no idea.
Exactly. And it's two contrasting kind of clubs because, like you said, Motherwell with an obvious plan and Hearts just seem... Turmoil's maybe a bit much, but you're expecting them to be in the top half of the table, at least at this stage.
I mean, it's only four games.
But I know, but I want more.
And Motherwell, like, now getting in some big names. So they've already got a Seedorf. And now they have a Mugabe.
Yes. Yes, Motherwell signed defender Bevis Mugabe. Is it Beavis? Like Beavis and Butthead?
I don't know. I just hope he's not...
dead?
A dictator?
No relation to Robert Mugabe. We're basically getting to the point of, Robert Mugabe, that guy who actually pointed a gun at my mum and dad.
Robert Mugabe?
I'm not even kidding you.
Robert Mugabe?
Yeah, so my dad worked for the Zambian government, like in tax and stuff. And genuinely, we went on holiday, 3-week holiday, and we were driving around Zimbabwe. Yeah. My dad took a wrong turn. I was sleeping in the car, and we turned right or left or whatever, wrong turn. And his presidential car was going down the road. And so we were met with, you know, two lines of Zimbabwean soldiers pointed their gun because it's like, well, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And then my dad had to like flaunt his papers out the car window and say, I work for the Zambian government. Don't shoot. I don't remember this at all.
That's definitely going to the point. That's great.
Although I'm a bit disappointed that you said that like Robert Mugabe himself pointed the gun.
Yeah, no. It's like that party and you're like, do you like the Doritos? What do you mean?
but it would have been better if I just said that and then we moved on.
Yeah.
And then just kept that like, whoa, wait a minute. Well, let's move on. Let's move from Zimbabwe to Hibs because they travel to Rugby Park to face Kilmarnock. When we did our pre-season preview, we quite fancied Hibs for third place.
Yeah.
They won their opening game against St Mirren narrowly, but then that was followed by a 6-1 defeat at Ibrox. That's them kind of hunt it. As we'd say, they have been poor since then.
They lost to Ibrox.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that Scott Allen pass was like automatic 3 points.
Oh, yeah, the Scott Allen pass. That's what everyone talked about other than the six good goals.
Do you think that'll be just deflection. Like the Hibs end of season video? They'll bring out a DVD of the Scott Allen pass.
Well, like that Zidane film. And it's just a set to the music.
I think you only get 6 cameras at most games in Scotland. I think it's actually only 4.
Well, that's fine. It's the same replay, but with different filters, like on YouTube. But really, Mogwai's
get Mogwai in the background.
Yeah. I watched that. Anyway, speaking of Scott Allen, Hibs are playing him. I don't think they've quite figured out what their team sheet's meant to be. The Heckenbottom seemed to have a plan last year, and they were playing some nice football. And now he's brought his own boys in to try and do a job, and he's made them worse. And that is not good. Scott Allen has been playing wide. I can't tell if he's trying to play like so he comes inside to be able to play through the middle, but he needs to play through the middle. But then if Heckenbottom's preferred shape is like a 4-1-4-1, there's no real room for Scott Allen in that team.
The problem with Scott Allen is that if you're up against it and you're having to defend, you can't rely on Scott Allen to help your team out. And if you're attacking and free-flowing, Scott Allen's quality.
The other thing that's a problem with Scott Allen is that you have to say his whole name. You can't just say Allen.
I think what you just said about Scott Allen there is representative of what Heckenbottom said. I think it was after the Motherwell defeat when he just sort of complained about Hibs being too nice and far too soft and easy to play against. All these guys are kind of individually good players, but you look at Allen, Daryl Horgan, Glenn Middleton, who's got in loan from Rangers, Stevie Mallon, all good players, but are they a bit easy to play against.
Well,
and
didn't sign any nutters or any working class. Clearly, that's what we needed.
I think conceding 14 goals in the last four games kind of suggests that they're quite easy to play against.
Well, as Chris Boyd's already solved this. He needs to get more working class people into the team. That's going to solve it all.
Get all those no ball signs off the walls. Look, it's not going well for Hibs. We all know that. It's not going well for Hibs women, actually, as well. They got beaten 4-1 by Slavia Prague in the last 32 first leg of the Champions League this week. They did well to get there, but Glasgow City won 1-0 in Moscow, actually, just to point on that. Only the second time that two Scottish sides have made it this far.
I mean, that is pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
But it's like that's last 32, just for like anyone doesn't know. So that'd be like the equivalent of having two Scottish teams in the group stages of the Champions League.
Yeah, it's incredible. But let's touch on Kilmarnock. Third last season, and they got their first win last time around at St Johnstone.
Yes.
Things are turning, JJ. Well, you did your big thing on them not too long ago, and you're starting to see some positives.
Well, it's just the one win. I mean, again, it wasn't a huge win. I think a lot of Scottish press, as as you'd imagine, would be our kind of anti-Alessio.
Straight away, right?
Yeah,
straight away. I don't get it.
It's because Kirk Broadfoot told them, and you know, he is a man of sane mind and body.
As with all the teams, it's far too early to work out who they are. I don't think their transfer window went very well at all.
No.
I don't think they've really got ways to score. Like they're trying to change the way they're playing from last season. It's a bit more possession-based. But so far, only Stephen O'Donnell has scored for them. He's got two. One of them is an absolute pinger, though, against Rangers. Remember that?
It's really bad, though. You know, we've mentioned in the podcast before how lethal Eamon Brophy can be, but that was really when Greg Stewart was there.
Yeah.
So now you're looking at it and you're seeing Stephen O'Donnell is their top goal scorer. Four games, I know it's only four games, but two goals, that's pretty disappointing.
The one thing I would say positively about them is that we've seen the past two games, the Aberdeen 0-0 and winning 1-0 at St Johnstone, that at least they've sort of maintained that shape a bit and the discipline that was there from Clark's time. And goals, even when Clark was there, it wasn't as if they were exactly free scoring.
Yeah, exactly.
When that's when they had Jones and Stewart and Brophy in top form. So I think goals are going to be a problem all season long.
Mondays. In terms of popularity, they're up there with Brussels sprouts, dental surgery and Neymar, aren't they? But at Paddy Power, we wanted to do something to make Mondays a bit less Monday. So now Mondays are Money Back Mondays, when we get you, the punters, to nominate your lost football bet on Twitter using the hashtag Money Back Mondays, to vote in our Monday Twitter poll, and then we refund on the most popular market as a free bet. Paddy Power, home of the Money Back Special. T's and C's apply. No max stake. Refund will be as a free bet. Does not apply to shop bets. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
On Spotify, smart speaker and podcast platforms everywhere, this is the Totally Scottish Football Show from Muddy Knees Media.
Bad times in Edinburgh, but it's the players from Perth who are propping up the pile. Bottom of the table, St Johnstone travel to Aberdeen on Saturday. We're joined now by the author of Our Day in May, Saints fan Ed Hodge. Ed, two draws, two defeats, including a 7-0 defeat at Celtic on the opening day of the season. Is there any sense of panic amongst the supporters yet?
I don't think so. It's obviously not where you want to be after four games, but you know, Celtic away first up was always going to be difficult. Yes, it was quite a disappointing result to lose so heavily, but you know, there was actually good comebacks against Livingston and Hibs. I guess the real disappointing one was just before the break there with Kilmarnock at home. I actually went up there for the Stevie May return. I wanted to be there.
Grand feeling.
So that was disappointing because Kelly got their noses in front of us so often in these games. The first goal is so important, isn't it? So they held on and took the points. So, yeah, it's disappointing. And our next two games are not easy either, Aberdeen and Rangers. So, but there's a lot of points up for grabs in October, which is already looking like a huge, huge month for us.
Speaking of Stevie May, there's a lot of hope resting on his shoulders now. Like, where are the goals going to come from St Johnstone this season now?
Yeah, I think I'm biased. He's a cult hero of mine going back to the Scottish Cup and especially the semi-final with the two goals. I'm quite happy to talk about that again. So I think, you know, just from the cameo he had against Kilmarnock, you know, you can see that the sharpness is there. He's obviously had a difficult time at Aberdeen, but I think the saga of finally getting him to the club should hopefully pay off. I think there's goals there in him. And going forward, honestly, I think we're looking pretty good with Kennedy on one side. You know, Dre Wright's back to fitness. You've got O'Halloran, Danny Swanson. You know, Chris Kane and Hendry are there as well. You know, we're not going to be short of goals. Mm. The problem I see is just trying to keep them out, because it's a much changed defence, and given you know, Tommy's kind of instructions to lower the average age of the squad, there's you know, Jason Kerr and Liam Gordon have to really get up to speed as quickly as they can. You know, there's good potential there in defence, but we have to really tighten up at the back.
You mentioned you know, that Scottish Cup win in 2014. Obviously, Tommy Wright was the manager then. We all know the great job he's done there. But do you think players get bored with, you know, hearing the same voice over and over again? Is it something, you know, it's been mentioned down in England with like the likes of Pochettino and this five-year cycle of a squad. And Tommy Wright's brought quite a few people back, like O'Halloran. There's a lot of players that have done a good job for St Johnstone. But do you think maybe, you know, it's time for a change?
Well, I don't think you can dispute the job he's done for us. It's been phenomenal. And, you know, obviously last season was the kind of first time we've not been in the top six for a while. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's always going to be a legendary figure given what happened with the Scottish Cup success and what's been achieved after that. He's had to change the team, you know, that Derek McInnes kind of, you know, nurtured and Tommy kind of, you know, strengthened it, and then we achieved the cup win, and now we're in that period where the squad is going through, you know, big changes. You know, with Stephen Anderson going out on loan this week as well, there's, you know, the experienced figures have maybe moved on, but in saying that, just as you touched on there, for whatever reason, when players leave St Johnstone, they maybe don't go on to have the careers they maybe expect, and they yeah. come back again. So I think he definitely likes to have players that he can trust and players that he's worked with before. But I think the nice blend is now we've got, you know, some youth coming through who probably haven't played under Tommy yet. So I'd like to think there's a nice balance there. And I actually think there's a nucleus of a really good squad. It's a much changed squad. But the proof will be in the pudding, I would think, by the end of October. Because, yeah. as I said, it's a key month, October. You know, you could... You know, Aberdeen, tricky place to go on Saturday, but we've actually got results there in the past, so, you know, so who knows? But yeah, I would say judge Saints at the end of October.
I say, could it be time for a change? We all know that Tommy Wright's done a good job, and I only ask that because I want to hear what an actual fan says about a manager that he's, you know, been seeing on the dugout week in, week out. And it's interesting, I think St Johnstone, we could know by the end of October where they are going to be in and around the season.
If they don't get more results anytime soon, they're going to end up sort of like what Dundee were in last season. They're not as bad as Dundee were.
Lacking momentum.
Lacking talent. Lacking the ability to win. I don't understand how St Johnstone could have gone, I don't want to use the word soft, but they're very easy to go through, it seems to have been. And maybe it is because if they're good going forward, there's a bit more space between players when they defend. Maybe that's a thing. Aberdeen's clearly a tough team to go to.
Yeah.
They should be finishing third or second. From what I've seen of St Johnstone so far, you'd think Aberdeen should win that game, but then you'd think Aberdeen should have beaten St Mirren, and they didn't. They've had, 2 weeks to kind of work and get these new boys integrated in the squad more. I know some of them went away on holiday to Ibiza.
Nice.
Yeah, there's some good photos going around them.
Great place to go to recoup.
That's some warm weather training, was it?
Yeah, I think Derek McKinnon said they're going to work on shape, and they thought they said shapes. Yeah.
No. That is gone off.
That's terrible. There's a weird bit of news. Like, Scott Wright apparently is out for the season now with a cruciate ligament injury.
That's really sad.
But I get texted this by a couple of different people, right? So I got texted saying Scott Wright's out for the season. First of all, you think that's a real shame because he's just started breaking into the first team.
Yeah.
He's right at the age where he needs to be playing to get to where he's going to go.
Really liked him at Dundee when he was on loan.
Exactly. Yeah. He did okay. I mean, he's coming along, and then Aberdeen need width and pace, and that's what one of the things he brings. And then I got texted by my source at the club who said that there's no way he's injured. He'd trained for 90 minutes today and had fajitas at lunch.
Is that actually
that's what I got told.
And is that also how that person talks?
I was just about to ask that question.
It's a little bit how he talks. I used to live with him. He's a great guy. Anyway, and he went.
Did he often make fajitas?
He's a great guy. He makes great fajitas.
But that's what, apparently Scott Wright can't be injured because he had fajitas. And then, but Derek McInnes had a press conference and said that Scott Wright's out for the season.
So how does this guy know that he had, first of all, fajitas, and
I can't reveal that without revealing who my source is, but yeah. Apparently he is.
These fajitas have like magical healing powers that like you will heal an ACL in like
apparently 15
minutes.
they have cruciate ligament inducing powers, so I would not recommend these.
Okay.
So yeah. But yes, so Aberdeen need to get as all teams do, need to get themselves together and start playing as a team. I spoke to Derek McInnes last week, actually, and a thing I'm working on for The Telegraph, and he was saying how I think the team's coming together quite well. It's quite a nice balance in the squad, and he's really pleased with what he's got and what they brought in. They just hadn't had the time, really, to get them working together on the training ground properly because they were doing a Thursday and a Sunday, Thursday, Sunday. And now that 2 weeks should really help them, even though they spent some time out in Ibiza.
Time now for the latest odds with our man Lee Price at Paddy Power. Lee, Rangers face unbeaten Livingston, but what are the chances of Livy taking something away from Ibrox?
Well, I'm loath to write an unbeaten team off, but our traders seem to have. Rangers are 1-6 to win this, Livy 14-1 to get 3 points at Ibrox. We can do the double chance, which means Livingston won't lose, is your bet. And that's 7-2, just over 3-1. We're not buying it, though.
We don't like to speculate on this sort of thing, and Michael Stewart calls it the safest job in football. But what are the odds of Craig Levein losing his job?
Well, there's a good reason why Craig Levein's in a safe job, because he reports into himself, as we know. The fans do want his head, though, and it's odds on he goes before the last day of the season, that's 1-3, and it's also odds on he goes before Christmas, that's 10-11. He's in trouble, we think, but quite how he sacks himself is a different and fascinating matter entirely.
And finally, we mentioned earlier that Scotland right-back Stephen O'Donnell is the only player to score for Kilmarnock in the Premiership. Who else is going to score against Hibs?
Yeah, I love this kind of statistical quirk. We think it's more likely a striker will score, imagine that. It's 9-1 Stephen O'Donnell scores any time, though, against Hibs. As for the strikers, Eamon Brophy, he's 6-4 to score any time. He's scored 36 career goals in 166 games. It's not completely ridiculous. After him in the betting, you've got Roy McKenzie at 10-3. He's scored 25 in 241 games in his career. So maybe Stephen O'Donnell isn't such a bad bet after all.
It's been a whirlwind few years for Brechin City, from the Championship to League Two in just two seasons. But the mood at Gleed Park is on the up, with the appointment of former Dundee United and Celtic defender Mark Wilson as their new head coach. And Mark joins us now. How's it going, Mark?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
It's really good to have you on because I want to hear, Brechin have suffered back-to-back relegations, the second bottom of League Two, but you've accepted the call. What persuaded you?
Well, basically, you know, the call to get back into football was too good to turn down. I think any ex-professional who's been concentrating on the media, probably like I have for the past wee while, mm-hmm. is desperate to get back in sometime in the near future. And that was the case for me. You know, I love the media stuff I do for Radio Clyde and so forth, and I'll continue to work at that. But, you know, you always want another shot at getting back in. So when the call came in from Brechin, you know, you obviously look at the situation they're in. Not the best start to the season, but you look at the club overall. Look at the people who run the club, who've ran it for a number of years now, you know, good people. And the structure of the club and all seemed to fit, and I was happy enough to take up the opportunity to go and speak to the chairman, and things clicked and happened quickly over, you know, probably about the space of a week, and things were agreed and delighted to take on the role.
You're only 35, you know, really young manager, and you took the role at Airdrie 2 years ago, so 33, and you left. I think it was to continue, you know, your coaching badges and stuff like that, I think. But you must have obviously missed getting back into the dugout and working with these players.
Yeah, listen, well, Airdrie was great. I mean, I'd done all my coaching badges at Airdrie, but the remit I had at Airdrie was to get them into the playoffs, and after that, we lost. we classed the season as a success here, and it was a great time I had. However, probably the ambitions of the club and myself didn't match up after that playoff loss. And certain Airdrie was in a pretty unstable position at that time behind the scenes, so it was better for me to walk away. As a young manager, I didn't think I was the best guy to take them forward with what was going to happen at the club in the next few years. Going away, you never know if that's going to be your last opportunity. And lucky enough, you know, I kept my nose in here and there, you know, going round and watching some training from old clubs, you know, and old managers that I used to play with or play under. That kept me active. Bit of work with the PFA and concentrated on my media work. And as I say, just waited for the right club at the right time to come up, and Brechin seemed to match what I was after. So thoroughly looking forward to getting started. Started last week with them, seen the players, seen them again tonight in a big game on Saturday ahead.
You said there you're getting ready for training. You obviously played at a high level, Celtic, Scotland's international, played in the Champions League. What's it like going down to these levels, these sort of like part-time teams? How hard is it to, because you're obviously going to be restricted in how often you can work with the players and get your message across?
Yeah, that's going to be the big challenge. I mean, I had a little taste of it at the end of my career. I signed for Dumbarton and had a little taste of the part-time life, but it was very brief, if I'm honest. So it's a totally different training regime for myself to look at. You know, you see the players for 3 hours a week, which isn't a lot of time, you know, when you want to work in things. And you have to remember that the players, the majority of them, are employed elsewhere also. So they're travelling, you know, quite a distance to come and train for the hour and a half. So perhaps they may be a bit leggy sometimes because they've been working hard throughout the day. Those are things I have to take into consideration when you put on the session, and things that I'll certainly get better at as the weeks and months progress. But fundamentally, I think everything's still the same. The players have got a great appetite to win. And as long as that's there, things should be okay. As long as it's there and the important moments on the training ground, you know, the concentration's there, and they take the points you're making in training into the game on the Saturday and carry out those points, then we should be fine. It shouldn't be any different to any other training schedule from any other team.
A lot of ex-pros who go into management sometimes kind of maybe do it their own way, but take some kind of inspiration from previous managers that they've worked under. You've touched on that slightly, but is there anyone in particular that you look back on and go, I liked what he did, I liked what they did, and you wanted to employ a bit of that? I'm thinking of the likes of Gordon Strachan, or do you even like speak to the former teammates like Gary Caldwell, or even Paul Hartley, who you're up against quite soon?
You've got to take something from everyone. There's one or two along the lines that you probably discard. I think every footballer's like that. They get one or two managers, I think. We'll leave that one.
No.
So I'll not name any names. However, but guys that you've mentioned, I mean, Derek McInnes was brilliant to work under at Bristol City for my brief time there. Loved working under Derek. Great training regime, great relationship with the players. Paul Hartley, you know, Paul gave me my first job at Awa, believe it or not, when he was there as manager. I went in and was reserve coach, so we had a great relationship, you know, after Celtic and in coaching. But the standout, you mentioned him first, Gordon Strachan was the standout for me. And I think when you listen to all these ex-players who played under him at Celtic, I think every one of them mentioned him, you know, in terms of training and what he was like on the training ground. Even the Scotland players from, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, all loved his training, all loved the attention to detail, just even his drills. It got the fitness levels up, but you were also enjoying it. So I think when I'm looking at things, you take the most from him, because it was probably my most enjoyable time on the training pitch. And even when I look at Neil Lennon, a lot of Neil's training at the start mirrored Gordon's training at the start of his Celtic career. He's probably tailored that now to his own liking, but that was great to be involved in. So I think if you get the players enjoying your training as well as getting fitness levels out of them, then, you know, it's a win-win.
So you're at home to Leaders Cove Rangers. How's that going to go?
Well, listen, if I'm being honest, I can't go any worse than what's happened before. So, I mean, it's not been a great start for Brechin, looking at the previous results. And that's due to a number of of things. You know, the squad was ripped up after back-to-back relegations. Yeah. And I think Barry Smith was left with only four players. I believe he had to field himself in one of those games because of injuries. And it showed you what a tough job it was for him to come in and hit the ground running this season. And it's not went to plan. And, of course, that leads to me being in. So, hoping, you know, we're working some stuff tonight. Cove, very good team. Spent a few quid, got a good few loan players in and are free scoring. So we've looked at them. We've got to pick up any weakness we can and just believe in ourselves, you know, and hope we get the bounce from the players that a new manager brings. And, you know, just go out there and have nothing to fear. I mean, a lot of people are writing us off this week already. But it'll be a big ask, but one that we're certainly looking forward to.
Oh, it'd be good to get one over on Paul, though, wouldn't it?
That would be great. Listen, that would be great. I mean, Paul's had a fantastic managerial career, so it's about time he gives somebody else a shot. So it'd be nice if it's me on Saturday.
This is the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven and JJ Bull.
Many people's pre-season favourites for the drop face off at Dingwall on Saturday. It's Ross County versus St Mirren. Just one win for St Mirren, but only four goals conceded in four games so far. Jim Goodwin doesn't allow goals, does he, Kieran?
Doesn't like them. No, but I think it's actually been quite positive for St Mirren. I know they haven't been very free-flowing, but that's already a massive improvement on last season when they were neither free-flowing and high-scoring mm-hmm. one way and were also very leaky at the back, particularly early on in the season. This will be a good sort of barometer of what their realistic ambitions can be. Ross County ever kind of had a funny start to the season in the first few games and the League Cup was all very positive, and now they've had sort of back-to-back hidings from Livingston and Aberdeen. So I think it's very important for them to bounce back, particularly at home in a game that's, you know, it's not a relegation six-pointer by any means yet, but, you know, again, it's for both sides, it's a kind of good indicator and the type of game that they'll be expecting and realistically hoping to win.
It'd be funny how they set up as well. Not funny, it was interesting how they'll set up. There's nothing funny about it. So they're quite open and they're trying to attack, mm-hmm. and I guess that's how they came up, but they're playing against Aberdeen against 3-0 and Livingston did them. But Livingston did them in about 20 minutes, mm-hmm. Which is some dreadful individual defending, just mistakes. That'll happen now and again. St Mirren, I think the biggest difference from last year is they look really organised and there's a belief and confidence in the players that are there, and that's a very basic thing to have, but it makes them just a different animal.
It seems like a character trait that Goodwin has, it's because like, yeah. working with Alloa last season, a part-time team, and keeping them in the Championship, pretty special.
Well, it must be what Goodwin's done with them. And so the way Ross County approach this, they're at home, so you think they'd be the onus being them to attack, but I wonder whether, having suffered those two hide-ins back-to-back, whether they'll have worked on off the ball shape mm-hmm. during the last 2 weeks so that they are better prepared to not concede first rather than trying to find these goals, because although they'll get some points along the way, they can't keep getting done, because it not only does it you don't win any points, but you start to lose confidence, I think, and you yeah. want to make sure that other teams don't come to you thinking they're going to score, because it gives them more belief.
Well, Ross County, what was it, 4-1 defeat to Livingston, 3-0 defeat to Aberdeen in their last two games, and more worry for Ferguson and Kettlewell, the joint managers. They've conceded 3 in 15 minutes against Aberdeen and 3 in 23 minutes against Livingston. So this is, you said it's a barometer for St Mirren. It's going to be an interesting game, this.
Yeah, and actually, one of Ross County's signings on deadline day is Ewan Henderson, on loan from Celtic, who I was very impressed with when he played the few games last season for Celtic. I was quite surprised that he didn't get more outings, at least in sort of pre-season and stuff. There's really big hopes for him, so he could be a very good signing for Ross County.
Another interesting thing in this game, Kurt Broadfoot could make his return to the buddies.
Yeah,
there's a story with this. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
Well, yeah, so Broadfoot started his career at St Mirren, I think, certainly was there previously before joining Rangers, but when he came back with Rangers in 2008, he kissed the Rangers badge in front of the St Mirren fans, who weren't very happy about
only,
it.
Only a bit of banter.
Obviously. but yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if Kirk is happy now that he'll be able to eat his pie and chips at Paisley.
Well, exactly, and that one thing that'll make everyone happy is that St Mirren have the joint lowest price for a tea and a pie in the Scottish Premiership, £4.50.
That's all right. I've never had a pie at St Mirren Park, to be honest.
No, neither have I.
I didn't have one at Love Street. when they were there.
But maybe this is why Kirk was so upset, because the pies at Kelly are like the best.
I've heard that. I need to have one.
The Kelly pie, very special. Mm. The Premiership weekend kicks off at noon at New Douglas Park, Hamilton v Celtic, and the champions will go 6 points clear for a few hours at least with a win. Odson Edouard scored 4 goals in 2 games for France's under-21s.
God, you forget how young he is, don't you?
The lad is bang on form, isn't he?
I actually wonder if he's in like too good a form for Celtic's wishes at the moment.
There were rumours of Lyon circling around
him. There's suggestions that if Dembele leaves Lyon, which could have even happened in the summer transfer window, but say he has another good season, be far more likely to happen next summer, that Lyon might think, oh, signing young French Celtic strikers went well for us, so let's buy another one.
Yeah, are we likely to see debuts for Greg Taylor and Mohamed Elyounoussi?
I would think they would put Ball and Golli at left back here, because they're going to have more of the ball and he's more of an attacking fullback. Mm-hmm. So imagine Hamilton won't possibly risk going at them.
Contrary opinions, that might be that given they play Rennes away in the Europa League on Thursday, which might normally be the type of game you would play Taylor in because he's better defensively, you play him in this game to give him a game and bed him in before that game.
Well, that could well be what happens. Who knows?
Maybe Hamilton can capitalise on a wary eye that Celtic might have on that Thursday tie.
No.
They were pretty hopeless on the opening day of the season at Ross County, weren't they? But they have taken 4 points from a possible 9.
I think they've been okay this season. Yeah. They looked all right. Yeah.
It's not been an easy start for them.
Like, you can see what Brian Rice is trying to do, and they're not quite as adventurous as they were last season. I think Rice is adapting to each game. Maybe he's learned a bit more about the players he's got, and he's got a lot of young players coming who are doing well. Mm-hmm. The problem is that Celtic are still the best team in the league by a country mile and are going to put a few past them.
I also think that Celtic will make quite a lot of changes in the guys that have been away. So like Edouard might not play, Forrest played. So like they might make a few changes, but they should still be quite a good
football. And this is artificial pitch, and we know that the likes of Celtic and Rangers like to chop and change their teams for these games as well, don't they, to protect some of their players, particularly if there's a big game on Thursday. Let's move on. Rangers v Livingston at Ibrox. The first game for Steven Gerrard's men since the 2-0 defeat at home to Celtic. If Rangers don't win here, the wheels could come off, or maybe that's a little bit,
still too early in the season.
Too early. But, you know, we're talking about a Livingston side that are unbeaten this season. So it's open season.
I think if the fixture was the other way around and Rangers were going to Livingston off the back of that Celtic defeat and the form that Livingston are in, it could have been a really tricky game.
Yeah, I could see them struggling to score there.
They lost their last season.
1-0.
But at Ibrox.
Yes.
I think, and there's not, Rangers don't have two. I know Aribo was away and scored in his debut for Nigeria. Mm-hmm. He was being compared to JJ Okocha in the Nigerian press.
He's a good player.
But I think Rangers didn't have too many players away on international duty, so they should be well rested and ready to bounce back from that. Just on that though, the international duty thing, Gerrard has had quite a dig at Scotland set up, saying that Ryan Jack probably won't play this weekend because he was forced to do 11 kilometres in training 2 days after the Old Firm game. And that's something you should never do.
Well, it doesn't sound like a good thing to do.
I don't understand this. Wait, I mean, this is remember what Kirk Broadfoot says when he came away from Steve Clark's training?
Yeah.
So Alessio's got all these new fangled ideas and now he's got to do his own fitness training. Steve Clark is clearly a very talented, he's a very good manager. But clearly, you wouldn't make someone run like 10K in training. Why are you trying to get their fitness up for an international game? You want to be fit, like fit, ready to go.
It's the start of the season. Everyone's pretty fit.
Maybe given like a sort of the number of midfielders we have, like, because it's going to be pretty hard for Jack to break into that anyway. He was just like putting out loads of cones, and you know that's how he like managed to like rack up 11K.
It could be that it's there's loads of different coaching things you can do where you put cones down and they make them do little short bursting runs, but it sounds that way it's worded makes it sound like he's got them running long distance to try and get some fitness up. It's not a club, it's international management.
Yeah.
So it's a weird one there. Like we said, I think Livingston could have given them a game at home
at Tony Macaroni,
but you'd think Ibrox will be, they'll just demand a performance.
You've got to think that Gerrard doesn't really have to say much. The players know they have to give the fans at Ibrox a really big performance. I'm fully expecting another, you know, six goal haul here.
I don't think six. I think that's a bit disrespectful to what Livingston have done. I think 3 or 4 maybe. I think the other thing is,
but what I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised if I saw it.
No, but the other thing was that the day after the Celtic defeat, they obviously signed Ryan Kent, which might have been a reaction to that defeat, but it certainly lifted the fans sort of from the downer of that. So he's probably almost certainly going to make his second debut this weekend. Mm-hmm. So that will sort of give the fans a lift right from the start. As I say, I think Rangers will win and win pretty comfortably, maybe not 5 or 6,
I think it'll be tough, honestly. The things we talked about in the podcast last week, all about things like to do with shape and width and how they don't have any creativity.
But Kent is different. Is that the difference?
Yeah, well, that's what we said, right? So he should make the difference, but I don't know if he's going to change the team instantly. And Livingston will be ready. Like, everyone's revved up to play Rangers. It's a big game for everyone else, and everyone else raises their level against teams like Rangers and Celtic.
But I think what Kieran's saying, and I tend to agree, I think Ibrox is such a massive factor for Rangers. I know this is off the back of Celtic winning 2-0 there, but you say that the team won't change that much, but he might change the setup of that squad.
Maybe, but like Rangers should win. And the other thing as well is they've got the big game on Thursday against Feyenoord, right?
Gerrard against Yapstam. It's like the good old days.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Any contacts at Feyenoord, Kieran? I teed you up as a contacts man in Europe.
Not with Feyenoord, no. I'm more of a Spanish contacts man. Not so much on the Dutch front. Although I have been to Feyenoord once. I went as a young boy with my dad and was terrified because we were in the temporary stand they had built for Euro 2000.
Wow.
And Pierre van Hooijdonk was playing for Vitesse Arnhem, and the Feyenoord fans did not take that kindly to him and started like throwing many thousands of lighters at him, and like some were like flying just inches over my head. Maybe that's how I became prematurely bald. Who knows?
Either that struck off,
or it was a Yapstam tribute.
Oh, God. Well, funnily enough, Pierre van Hooijdonk played in that Feyenoord team the last time Rangers played them, which I think was 3-2. And van Hooijdonk scored a free kick.
That is correct. That is great knowledge.
I remember that game. I watched that game. But anyway, we'll end on that note. I'm sure Rangers will get a better result this time round. So that's all we've got time for. Thank you, JJ. Thanks, Kieran. Thanks to the Little Kicks, who are banging our theme tune right into your ears. And thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next Friday ahead of the big Edinburgh Derby.
You've been listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. Keep up to date with everything across our Totally Football network at The Totally Show on Twitter. And make sure you check out our brand new website too, thetotallyfootballshow.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.